You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Thank you all for joining us. Especially, some people might have had to cut short their turkey dinners in order to find out if their dinners are kosher. We'll speak this evening about a shaila that is an interesting shaila. Here's some arvakamas. Here's some shalom to Google. The reason why it's interesting shaila is because it's mamish, a gigantic raging machlokas achronim if turkey is permitted to eat. Despite that, it happens to be that if you do some research, you'll find that the highest consumer per capita of turkey in the world is Israel. By far, by far. As I have here back, I don't have current statistics, but going back 10, 20 years, it was close to 30 pounds per person per year in Israel. Way more than Americans were the number two. So it's interesting that it's such a shaila. It happens to be that one of my rabbis, Professor Schachter, does not eat turkey for this reason, for the cup, because it's a question of kashas, the shalak kodesh. I was told that the Kamenetsky family does not eat kosher, I apologize.
So,
the Schachter, the Shlach Kodesh, the Kamenetsky family, family with Tosis Yontif, I think. A number of poskim don't eat. We'll see if they'll be raging machlokes. I think Maram Shik in the end comes out. No, also not there. That's going to be at the end of the last year, but we'll see. But let's start from the beginning. It happened to be a sugya that was much more difficult than I anticipated. I thought it would be light, fun, and easy for me to prepare, and I was wrong. But we'll do the best we can. And it's really the sugya of what constitutes a an Of Tahar. What are the parameters of an Of Tahar, which is Shulchan Aruch Simen Pei Beis, which are Simone Of Tahar. So let's start with the pasuk in Shmini in Perek Yiralef Vayikra, which you're familiar with. It lists the various birds that are Loyach L'Sheket Seim, Esanesha, Peres Ha'ozniya, Vesada, Vesaya, Lemina, Vesakol Orev, Lemina, and it continues to list a whole listing, a litany of non-kosher birds. Says the Gemara Chulin, commenting on that pasuk, Mea Ofos Tmein Yesh B'Mizrach. We just listed in the pasuk about 20, 24 birds. Comments the Gemara Chulin, there are 100 Ofos and that Tmein in Mizrach. That means, I don't know, is that this is written in Bavel. So it means further east than Bavel, which is not Eretz Yisrael, it's the opposite direction. So maybe he's talking about Russia or something. V'chulan min ayahin. And all of them are all subcategories of one, just one of these listed in the Gemara Chulin, in the Pasuk in Vayikra of the ayah.
What does that mean?
I have no idea, that's going to be the issue. Frakti Gemara, what do you mean? How could you say there are so many? We know that there are only Chavdalad have it, only 24 birds that are Tmein that are listed in the Torah. Ella, la'ofos tahorim ein mispar. Comments that continues the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Yomer, go leave your dilat me mishan of Haya Olam. It's clear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Shabbahema Tamea, Meruba Min HaTahoros. Since there are so many more behemos that are non kosher, the Fikach, the Torah only wrote to mind the smaller amount. Mana HaKazib Tahor. The Torah mentioned the kosher animals, cows, sheep, goats. On the other hand, Goli Vidulf Nemi Shamar Vaya Olam, it's good Hashem, Sha'ofas Tahor Merubin Altmei, that the kosher birds are many more in number than non kosher birds. Lefikach Mana HaKaz B'Tmei, and therefore the Torah specified the non kosher birds. If you, I don't have it in the sources, but based on this Gemara, it seems, the Rambam comes out with a very important yusod, that the only non-kosher birds that exist are these 24. That's very important because that's a tremendous kula. That means if the Torah is listing the minority of birds that are non-kosher, and this is the exclusive count of those non-kosher birds, and every other bird, as long as you could define it, is not what it is.
Is a species.
Well, it could be species. That might be what the Gemara and Chulin meant, that there are hundreds of them, that they're all subsumed under ayah. Right? There is a species or some other word that we could subspecies, however you want to divide up the, right, let's say 24 species. But according to the Rambam, if it's not any of these, then it's definitely kosher. We're going to see, the Aruch HaShulchan will quote the Rashba, who says it's not really true, that these 24 are 24 examples of non-kosher birds, but there are indeed going to be other non-kosher birds that are not listed in the Torah, which will make life much more complicated, that even if you know that the bird that's on my plate is not one of these 24 that are listed, it might still be non-kosher, according to the Rashba. According to the Rambam, no. The only ones that are non-kosher are these 24. If the one on my plate is not one of these 24, then I know I'm good to go.
Is it always possible to make a suffix of what the 24 are? Because we might not know what they called it that.
100%.
So you can want to have 50 that could be one of these.
100%. And that's going to be in the next point of the Gemara Chulin. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, it's source number 3. It's just a continuation of the Gemara Chulin, Samach Gimel Beis. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Of Tahor Ne'achal B'Mesoras. If you have a Mesora, that a certain animal, a certain behe, I'm sorry, a certain oaf is Tahor, meaning it's not one of these, you're fine. There's an interesting, the next line is very interesting. Ne'ma hatsaya lomer. We're not talking about the rabbi, we're not talking about the shofar, we're talking about the hunter. The hunter, the bird hunter, is ne'ma to say, ov zatar masali rebbe. My rebbe taught me that this is an ov tar. You can trust me. What do you mean? What does the word rebbe mean? I'm Rabbi Yochan, who shabaki b'hem shmosen. You have to be a baki. This hunter has to know both. He doesn't have to be a rabbi, he doesn't have to have smich, he doesn't have to be knowledgeable of Torah, but he has to at least be a baki in identifying the birds and the names of the birds. He has to be a registered ornithologist. If a registered ornithologist who could identify birds and be knowledgeable about their names, what the names they are as in terms of what the names that, that the Torah has for them, then you could rely on that person if his Rebbe told him. What does the word Rebbe mean? Boy Rebbe Zer, Geshmak HaShayla. Rabbo, what it means, my Rebbe taught me that this is kosher. Does it mean Rabbo Chachma, a Jewish scholar, a Torah scholar, or Rabbo Tzaya, a hunter teacher, my Rebbe in hunting? The Gemara says, well, it's clear that the rabbis don't know how to identify birds. Rabbis are not ornithologists, mm-hmm. and they're not hunters, bird hunters, so clearly it must be the Rebbe in hunting, not the Rebbe in learning. Okay, so that's the source in Chulin. There's one more Mishnah that really opens up not just the Pandora's box, but the entire sugya is based on the following Mishnah. The Mishnah in Chulin, just a bit before this Gemara in Tesamad Aleph, tells us the following. When it comes to animals, the Torah tells us split hooves and chew its cud. Malagei rash, osas shesa. When it comes to fish, the Torah tells us what are the simanim of a kosher fish. Snapir v'kaskasas. When it comes to bugs, the Torah tells us also what constitutes kosher. Kosher, marbe raglayim, or asher na'enu marbe raglayim, has 4 feet and has the things that it jumps with. I don't remember the pasuk by heart. The only category that the Torah does not specify simanim is when it comes to birds. That's what the Mishnah comments, simanim, behema, bechaya, and fish, and bugs, nemru min haTorah, v'simani ha'ov lo nemru, aval omru chachamim. Those three words are very important. Omru chachamim, it sounds like it's a drabban. Kolov hadoreis is tamim. If there's a bird of prey, it's a bird that pounces, it tramples, it treads. Tamen. Kol sheyeshlo, and ask him to list 3 things that are indications of tahara. Kol sheyeshlo etz b'yisev, it has, let's call it a thumb for now. Vizefek, I think that's a crop. The kurkavano niklaf, and the kurkavan inside of it, that organ called the kurkavan, is easily peeled with fingers, and you don't need a knife to peel it. Those three simanim indicate that the animal is tahara. So the work we're going to do tonight is really to explain these last words of the Mishnah. What does it mean that any oaf that's a dores is going to be tameh? And any animal that has these three qualities of a thumb that protrudes in a different direction, a yid espi sera and a zefik and has a crop and has a kurkavan. Does anyone remember what a kurkavan is? I don't know.
The Halig of Kurkavan. There's a joke about that.
Gizzard? Called a gizzard. Yeah. How is that different than the crop? Isn't the gizzard? The gizzard is where it like stores all the things that it...
And it's yellow.
Right. What's the gizzard? Is that where like all the pebbles that it ingests hang out? Mm-hmm. And the crop is what? That's where it chews things up?
That's a good question.
If you knew, if Mara just said earlier that if you had a rabbi that was at Zion, that means there were people who were capable of identifying these species.
Yeah, this is a chasida, right? Because that's what the Gemara is saying. We're saying, okay, the chachamim, bishlam and the chachamim, they knew that what the birds listed are. They know it's a chasida and a duchifas and whatever, whatever.
I thought, okay, the chachamim might not know because they don't know how.
No, they know what it's called, b'shmayu. But the hunter knows, oh, this is a duchifas, this is the atalei.
Why didn't they learn from that?
The
Masorah
was lost, that's the point. The
Masorah
was These are things that are proper nouns, right? So you have to be able to identify it. And if you're ever in, if you live in a place where you have duchifasses, then it's easy to teach your son what a duchifas looks like. If you live on Central Avenue, we don't have duchifasses on Central Avenue.
Well, we're not sure.
Maybe we do, but we don't know.
That's the point. So maybe there are certain points in history where that, as the Jews knew, moved around their various places, where certain birds weren't, and if they weren't, then they couldn't be identified. Once you lose the link in one generation, unless you take really good pictures, which they probably didn't in those days, you lost the Masorah forever and ever.
Right. That's why the list can't get bigger, it could only get smaller, except for Turkey got bigger. But
that's the stuff. Does art school admit they don't know, or they claim they do know?
Art school will give you a name and research, a lot of research to try to figure out what are the birds that are. We don't know for certain.
When they don't know at all, they'll just put it into italics.
The Hebrew, right. Yeah. They'll say D-U-C-H-I-F-E-N.
Now, the Chachamim took based on kosher, or was it halakha l'mashmi?
So, you're asking a very good question. When the Mishnah says that the Chachamim say we have three simanim of a kosher...
Four.
It's a question. You're right, it looks like it's four, but the Rishonim learn it that there are three. The Rishonim understand that Doreis is not one of the Simanim. Doreis is just an automatic indication that it's Tameh. And the three Simanim of Tara are the extra finger, the Zefik and the Kurkavan, Niklaf. You're saying, is that Halakha Moshe V'Sinai? It seems not. It seems from what I've learned that these are Taka things that the Rabbanim sort of deduced from their knowledge of birds, from their ornithological knowledge that Chazal had, they deduced or they looked at the common denominators that all the Torah birds had these common characteristics. And the Tami birds, well, let's see, the Gemara Chulin will now say, what about the Tami birds? The Gemara Chulin now, which will be the last really Gemara that we're going to see, says something very interesting. We just said that if there are three simanim, let me back up. Let's talk about sukkahs for a second. You go to the store and you buy a lulav and estrik. And if you don't want to pay as much money, forget the store. You go to a stand on Central Avenue, or where I grew up on Avenue J, the 30 stands down Avenue J in front of all the pizza stores, and you can buy yourself a beautiful lulav and estrik for $35. $50 if you want to really splurge.
Right.
Then you go into a guy who has his own little store, and you ask for a chazanish, and he's going to charge you $250. What's the difference? The difference is, what's the hashgacha? The hashgacha on esrogim is based on what? So I'll tell you. Normally the badatz is a great hashgacha. Badatz chickens cost two times as much as regular, even sometimes regular mahajan hashgacha. Certainly than twice as much, at least two times more than the Rabbanut chickens in Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Esrogim, Badatz is really bad. Why? Because we have an Esrog. What's an Esrog? So Chachamim have a few Siman. I think an Esrog is something that an Esrog is that fruit which the pits are lined vertically and not horizontally. An Esrog is where the Ukatz is indented, the bottom Ukatz is indented. An esrog is a yellow fruit, a lemon type of fruit that has bumps on it. Says the badatz, okay, let's look for a pardesim where the esrogim have those three characteristics. And if it has a lot, most of the trees look like that, you know what we'll do? We'll put a badatz stempel on it. That's called cheskas. That's called cheskas, bilti rukavim. If you want something that has a better nichus, that you know for certain that it's not murkav, then you go for Mariel Diskin, Esra, you go for Chazanish Esra, you go for other Esra.
But there, the Chazanish, the seeds that they planted from the Chazanish Esra, that became the Chazanish Esra. So where did the Chazanish got it from? A place that had a Chazaka too? He wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, I don't want to get right. into that. That's a different shir.
Right,
that's
I think so.
Shir. What I'm trying to say is the idea of Simanim is a similis. You know, there's a good chance that if something has these characteristics, it will be the right one. But it's not 100%. It's not 100% accurate. So Chachamim say, come along and say, we have Simanim. If you find birds that have a gizzard, and they have a crop, and their gizzard could be peeled easily, and they have a thumb on their paws, on their claw, whatever you want to call it, on their hand, then you know it's kosher. So that means any animal that has those characteristics, it's going to be okay. That's funny. The Torah says some people cast cases. The Torah says chewing its cud and split hooves. The Torah never said these. Where are you getting these things, Mr. Chachamim? Chachamim are just taking, you know, they're just looking at the 24 birds that the Torah offers, and they notice that these qualities are not in the 24 birds. Where did Chachamim get this from? So that's going to be a question we're going to have to ask, and that's really going to be what's going to drive the postgim as far as figuring out what will or won't be a kosher bird. But let's finish with the last Gemara in Chula, which sets up a very interesting paradigm and a paradox. Says the Gemara in Chula, Ma Nesher Miyuchim. We know that Nesher is one of the 24 non-kosher birds. An eagle, let's call it an eagle. For lack of a better word, Nesher we assume is an eagle. Maybe it's a falcon.
Maybe it's a vulture.
Griffin
vulture. Griffin vulture, yeah.
Ma Nesher Miyuchad, Sheilo Esbi Yisera, Vizefek, Vein Kurkuk Baro Niklef, Vidor Yisrochel. Says the Gemara, a Nesher has all four negative characteristics. It's first of all is a praying bird, the bird of prey, and it doesn't have any of the three characteristics of kosher animals. It doesn't have the thumb, it doesn't have the gizzard, it doesn't have the gizzard that's peelable, it doesn't have a crack. So, therefore it's tame. Af concludes the Gemara, Af kol kayotze bo tame. So to any other, any other bird that has all four characteristics of tame will also likewise be tame. But now, look at this. Torah pigeon, which we know is kosher. Sheishlan Esba Yisera. They have the extra thumb. The Zephek, the Kukwud Nikla, Feindar Salatlim, Tahomrim. They have all the four good things, the four positive things. They're Tahor. Avkol Kayotzebahem Torah. So now, where do we stand? If something has all four Simanim, the Gemara tells us, it's definitely Tameh. If something has the four Simanim of Tara, then it's definitely Tara. What does that leave you? It leaves you with a gigantic gray middle ground. If you have four perfect, you're kosher. If you have four terrible, you're treif.
Right.
What happens if you have
three,
or two, or one?
Then you would need a sinner, maybe.
That's going to be
the
discussion that we have to have now, a raging machlokas rishon, based on this one line of Gemara. And that is going to determine for us what animals, what birds will be kosher? Because very few birds have all four like this or all four like that. Most of them might find themselves somewhat in the middle. So first of all, one thing that the poskim assume is that any animal that is a doreis, once you're a doreis, you're off limits. That's what we'll see some people said later. So therefore that's the easiest, perhaps. That's exactly what we're going to talk about right
now. Oh.
An animal that we, in English, they usually like to call it a bird of prey. We have to define what constitutes, what defines something as a bird of prey. If it's a doreis, then we're going to see some Rishonim will say later, no matter what other simanim it has, this one quality of being a doreis makes it not kosher. Well, what's a doreis? Let's look at Rashi and Kulu.
Before we get to doreis, a quick question.
Yeah.
Fish. You can see, looking at the fish, the scales and the
correct.
An animal, you can see it's chewing the cud.
Right.
And you can check the hooves.
Right.
The
bird, you're going to have to...
The stuff inside.
You're going to have to cut it open to figure out if it has the C on it. Right.
So you cut open the species.
You have to cut open that species. You have to cut open everyone. You know, if a duck-billed platypus has the semen, then all the other duck-billed platypuses will also be fine.
It's almost like you have to breed them so that they're all, and protect them so that...
I think if you see, you've seen enough pigeons, you know that all pigeons are pigeons.
Yeah.
Squirrels, I never knew there were black squirrels until I came to Lawrence.
Yeah.
I grew up in Flatbush, we had gray squirrels. In Hand, we had gray squirrels. All of a sudden, Lawrence is one black.
They're the same min. They're not like red squirrels that are a different min. It's the same min of squirrel. It's just like a, it's a mutate. It's like the Schwarzes. You know, they're like the same.
I love the
okay. So, what's a bird of prey that defines an animal as being non-kosher, a doris? Rashi says an interesting definition. Rashi in Chulin and Tess, hadoris ha'ochez b'tziparnav. It clutches in its claws, in its talons. It's like a bench. You know, sometimes my kid is, you know, wants to finish the soup, so what does he do? He sticks his face down onto the plate and slurps it all up. What do we say? Don't eat like an animal. You know what? Dorises, birds of prey, also are mentioned. They lift up their food to their mouth. They don't peck on the ground. When you see a bird pecking on the ground, that's not a doris. If you would see something lift, take its claws, lift it up to its mouth, that's a doris. That's a bird of prey. That's what Rashi says here. Let's look at Tosa's critique of Rashi.
What's okay with Tziparnov? Tziparnov is not the hands.
It's claw.
Tziparnov, fingernails.
Says Tosas, source number 8, the Tosas on that same, you know, on a nearby Gemara, Samchal Chomad Aleph, asks on Rashi and says, wait a second, you're telling me that if an animal lifts it up to its mouth and eats thereby, that makes it a doris and it's not kosher? Tosas says, that can't be. A very geschmackish shadow of a Tosos. You know why it can't be, asked Tosos? Because that's how chickens eat. And we all know that chickens are 100% kosher v'yosher. Chickens, I'm not a chicken farmer, although I have a student who has a farm. I should call him up and ask him how chickens eat. I actually spoke to him today. Chickens, says Tosos, do lift up their food to their mouth. I just can't say yes or no.
What do you mean they lift it up to their mouth? They take the
table. They don't peck by lowering their nose to their beak to the ground and eating thereby.
I thought
rather,
they do.
Take something, at times, take something in their claw and lift it up and eat that way.
Oh, that's interesting. I never
it's you against Tosas, right?
No, it could be that they've been dumbed down and domesticated. It could be.
Dumbed down. So therefore, Tosas comes out with a different definition of a totally seemingly unrelated definition of what constitutes a bird of prey that will be non-kosher, refresh of any time, on the top of page number 2. Doris v'ochel mechayim v'eino mountain la'achetomis. If a bird eats the animal that it's eating while it's still alive and doesn't wait for it to die, that is the definition of a doris. Chickens don't eat live animals. Somebody pointed out to me after Mincha, he was talking about this, he said chickens do eat live worms, but we're not going to get into that. Let's assume live worm is not a real animal, but if it's going to eat an animal, wait till it dies. Otherwise, it's a doris. Finally, Rabbeinu Gershom has another pshat what doris is. Hadoris, Tommy Doris, this is Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of Chulin and Tess, Amalaf. Hadoris, what's a doris that's not kosher? Shekoli to Ameavir. It catches its prey in the air. Right, that's like a vulture, an eagle swoops down on top of something while it's still flying, and just catches it and eats it while it's flying. Call it mafia. Okay, that's as far as one of the qualities that will define a non-kosher animal if it's a bird of prey, and these different definitions of what constitutes vasteis adori is a bird of prey. But look at Rashi. This is a famous Rashi. I should say it's an infamous Rashi, because this Rashi is going to be the source of a big chumrah that's going to make our lives very difficult, especially our lives difficult if we want to be able to eat turkey. As the Rosh Yeshiva said this morning, but Yeager says, the minhag is that wild turkey is definitely kosher. Turkey we have to figure out, but wild turkey is good.
It's suburban.
Well, but wild turkey, the domestic turkeys we know came from the wild.
No, wild turkey.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
So let's look at this Rashi. Rashi says something very difficult. If I would look at a bird, I would say, okay, whatever the definition that I take for a bird of prey, let's say that it lifts up the animal, or it eats it after while it's still alive, or it catches it in the air, whatever the definition is, I look at a bird, I look at a species, and I would see, is this species a bird of prey? If it is, then I'm in trouble. If it's not a bird of prey, okay,
I'm good.
Sounds like we're good to go, or at least good to go if we have some other simanim. But Rashi says, no, 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 life is much more. Says Rashi, Kulan Sama Fezim Beis, Mitoch She'enon Avikim Bahem. Since we are not sure which are the 24 that the Torah specified, we don't know what a Duchifas is, we don't know what an Atalef is, we don't know what an Aya and a Hasida are. Since we don't know, nearly, the Ofa Balafaneinu, when we find a bird on our plate, Yesh Lama Shemi Yidros. Maybe this bird on my plate, since I don't know which ones are the ones in the Torah, in the list of the Torah, maybe this bird on my plate might in fact be a
Davis.
It doesn't say, Rashi doesn't say it might be one
he
of those.
He might go ahead and Yidros. He might do it.
He says we might be, even if I have no reason to assume it's any of those 24, but it might be a Doris. That's so weird. What do you mean it might be a Doris? Look at it, study it, watch it for a week or two in your backyard and see if this kind of species is Doris or not. Take a bunch of chickens in your backyard and watch the chickens for a week and see, do they ever catch their prey while it's flying through the air? Do they lift up their prey with their claws and bring it to its mouth? Do they, what was the other pshat? Do they eat their prey while it's still alive and they wait till it dies? What do you mean we don't know? Maybe it's a Doris. Says Rashi, because there was a famous story. There's a story, the Ha'af Tarnagol to the Agma, the swamp Tarnagol. The lake Tarnagol, which everybody thought was an innocent non-dores, non-bird of prey, and months passed, I'm making up the numbers, but months passed, the entire community, the entire city thought this swamp Tarnagol was an innocent non-bird of prey, and they started eating it. And after a few months, they realized they saw once do a drisa, whatever the drisa
is. This is a story from Rashi's own time, that's what
I
he's saying?
I think it's Gemara. It's a Gemara somewhere. And therefore, Lach Hazman Ru'u Ashe Doreses, and therefore, we have the following, we will institute the following safeguard. The safeguard is, the Ein of Nechal Lanu, we'll only eat a bird, Elo B'Mitzores of Shemasu Lanu Avaseinu B'Tahar. V'Shalom Asur Lanu, Yesh Lachosh. We will therefore, because of this story, I think the story in the Gemara about the Tarnagolas Hag, the Agma, the swamp Tarnagol, that everyone thought it was kosher, everyone thought it was non-dores. It even sounds like a chicken, which is definitely kosher.
Right.
But since once it happened with that story, or the fact that the Gemara tells us the story, that it was dores, therefore we will not ever rely on our own empirical observation to determine whether or not a bird is Doris or not. We'll always require ourselves to rely on the Mesorah. If we know that there's a Mesorah, that this is an okay bird, good. If we don't have a Mesorah on this bird, we will not eat it. This Rashi basically takes everything we learned and throws in the garbage.
What if unfortunate. Species, what if that species that does, some of them do this way and some of them don't do they have that species? In 500 of them, 250 do it one way, 720 don't do it.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. If you have a species that some are Doris and some are not Doris, I would assume that it would be defined as a species that is Doris.
Well, maybe it's only three of them, maybe 500 of them don't.
Yeah, that's my assumption.
I don't know.
Okay. Now,
well, a pigeon is never going to be a Doris, right?
All you need is one that does it, that proves
it.
Yep.
Maybe a species.
Well, a cow is never going to eat an animal, right? I mean, why do you assume that there's going to be some that do and some that don't?
So
right?
We finished the first half of the shiur. What I'd like to do now is go to the second half.
No such thing. I don't think there's such
a thing. The second half of the shiur is going to try to deal with what happens when this sheet of Rashi. First, we have to figure out if we're going to pass like this sheet of Rashi. Again, Rashi basically said that throw out everything, every Mishnah, every Gemara that talked about Siman and that talked about Doreis, throw it all out because we don't really know for sure because we have this frightening, scary story. And therefore, you know, it's like I got a shaila. Somebody, before Rosh Hashanah, there was a viral video that went around about black-eyed peas, which is one of the rubies. A video of a guy opening up a Hamish brand of black-eyed peas, and out crawls a bug. Video went viral. So somebody in the shul asked me, does that mean we can't eat black-eyed peas? You can black-eyed peas, not the raw ones. I called up the OU, and the OU told me that just because you saw a video that showed a bug, that doesn't mean that every black-eyed peas is a problem. It seems that this is what Rashi is doing to us. He saw there was one case of Tangolas Da'agam, where there was a sign that they thought it was not Doris, and we found after months that it was a Doris. Therefore, he says we can't rely on anything that we ever, any empirical evidence, we can't rely on any Chazal, we can't rely on any Simonim. We have to throw out the Mishnah, throw out all the Gemaras about whether something is a Doris, or if it's not a Doris, it's okay. If it's Simonim, it's okay. Throw it all out because there was one story. That's what Rashi's doing. It's a big chumra. Based on the story of Tangolas Da'agam that Rashi's telling us, that we should therefore not trust ourselves. You gotta know the story. You can't trust yourself. It's a big chumra. Do we pass like that chumra? Let's see the Shulchan Aruch. Firstly, the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Pei Beis, which is the Siman that we're learning tonight, that we don't have any simanim, as I mentioned, for an Av Tahar. We only have the simanim for Behema, for Sheretz, for Dove. Rather, we have the 24 kosher birds. But Rashi adds something, I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch says something important. Sha'arminei ha'of mutarim. Those three words, four words, say are very, very loud. They scream to me like the Rambam. They say, rather than Shulchan Aruch saying, any other birds besides these 24 are kosher. That means it's not that these 24 are part of the list of the non-kosher birds. They are the exclusive list. Anything that's not on this list will be kosher. Okay, that's important. Now, continues the Shulchan Aruch. This Shulchan Aruch now in some days. If you know what the bird is, and you know what the bird looks like, and you know what its name is, then you could eat it. Okay. Look at the second one. Mi she'ena makirim ve'ena yodei shmasim. If you can't identify the birds, and you don't know their names, like us, we don't know the names of the birds, we don't know which bird, you know, matches the list of the Torah, says the Shulchan Aruch, not like Rashi. Bodek b'simanim. Follow what Chazal told you. The Chazal told you something, even though it was only, the Lashon Mishnah was Chachamim, it's not Doraisa, it seems like it's only Drabana, but check what the Chazal set out for you. Kolom shu Doris v'ochel. If it's a Doris, v'yadushu v'minu hatmeh. If it's the bird of prey, you can't start. If you don't know if it's a bird of prey, v'meinu yodeim Dorisim lav. So then you could follow a certain simon that the Gemara tells you how to determine whether a bird is a bird of prey. You put the bird on a string, and if it splits its foot, its claws, such that it has two fingers forward and two fingers backward, two fingers in front of the string that it's standing on, or the dowel, the stick that's standing on, two fingers to the back, that's a simon that it's a not Doris. Once you determine that it's not a Doris, it's going to be a Dush, and a Doris, then you could determine whether it's going to be kosher with the following experiment. Yeshlosha Simani Tara, quoting the Gemara, of course, that we saw, it has an extra finger, meaning it has a thumb, and it has a zephyr, it has its gizzard, the crop, and the gizzard that you peel. But look at how he concludes. Shulchan Aruch concludes. Look at the next sif in Sif Gimel Hazrama. Yesh Omrim She'en Lachol Shumov Ela B'Mesorah She'Kiblu Bo Shutar V'Chein Agen V'Ein Hashanos. Ramaz Paskins, the Shulchan Aruch had a similar point, but Ramaz Paskins that if we don't have a Mesorah, you could have all the Simonim. And as far as you know, all the empirical evidence that it should be a kosher bird, and it matches all the criteria that Chazal set forth of it being a kosher bird. But if you don't have a Mesorah, our minhag is that we don't eat that bird. And that's the Sof Davar, that's the Psak of the Rambam. The question, of course, that we have to figure out is, do turkeys have a masorah? Mm-hmm. They're not a masorah. According to this Rama is passing like that very Chomer Dekor Shitas Rashi, who says, we're going to throw out all of Shas, and forget about Mishnayos and the Gemara to talk about Simonim and Doreis and all the like. And if it's not Doreis and it has all the good Simonim, it should be kosher. No, if it's not, if we don't have Masorah, we're not going to, we're worried. Maybe it's going to be like a Targol Da'aga, that swamp chicken that fat was found to be after months and months and months. It was found to be Doreis, even though no one thought it would be. And we're worried that all the, you know, so maybe the turkey is going to be a Targol Da'agma. And maybe one day we'll find that it's going to be Doris, and therefore we can't eat turkey. That's going to be the question. So I'm not going to go through with you. There are some incredible shitas here. You remember we mentioned what happens if you have, we said if you have all four simanim of tumah, like the eagle, you're tameh. If you have all four simanim of tara, like the pigeon, that's definitely kosher. What happens if it's in the middle? That's a gigantic machlokas. That's a raging machlokas rishonim. One we passed in like is the Rambi, the Moshe Ber, the Meir by Yosef, Moshe Ber Yosef, that he says, I'm not going to go into these middle opinions. We're not going to go into the opinions, whatever, we don't have four on either side. Let's go straight down to what we should do about turkeys, about things that we don't really know if we have a good misorah. So the Netziv in the Shas Shuvos Meshiv Davar, source number 18, wasn't necessarily asked about a turkey. He was talking about some specific kind of duck with a certain anatomical configuration, which is described in the Shaila. And there are people that are asking, is it kosher or not kosher?
Doesn't that sound like a turkey, though? It's a mishunas mevzas hametzuyim beinenu, ba'orech tzabarim, they have a longer neck, u'b'gav shusha shela chartoim, right? Chartoim is the nose, the beak, it's got this thing sticking out, which like the turkey has over its running guts over the nose. That sounds like it could be a turkey. What other animal has this thing coming out over its beak like that? Like?
I'm not an ornithologist.
Right. I'm sure there are others, but it sounds like a turkey to me.
Well, it could be.
Right.
The reason why I'm not saying that is because he's going to bring a ride for turkeys in the end of the tshuva.
Okay.
So that's why I assume the tshuva is not about a turkey. The shayla is not about a turkey.
Okay.
So.
You're right.
The Netziv says something incredible. Look what I underlined.
Simon Chav Beis,
and the Shastra's Meshav Devon. He talks about this animal that has come into question recently. And he says something incredible. Right? You need a Masorah, right? Mm-hmm. And we question, does this have a Masorah? Look what he says now. I underline. Now the people have already been knowing to eat it. No, whatever bird he's talking about. A newfangled bird that the people are eating, but they realize might be a question. Now the people who have been knowing to eat it. Presumably, when it began, when they started eating this unique species, presumably it was with Oras Chacham, Shnira Loshum in Avaz Hatar, who assumed that it was from the kosher ducks. Vilpsuku Bezalitair, they assumed that it was kosher, and therefore they started eating it. Well, if they did, even though now we have a question if it should be included or not, Ain Lana the Oster will Hotzi Laz Alav Hosena Sha'akul Okam. How can we get up now and say that for the past 80 years this community has been eating non-kosher animals, which is because now you have a question.
Right.
You're right, now you have a question, but it must be that 80 years ago when people started eating this bird, you think they didn't ask a shayla? You think they just started? Of course, they're from Toradic Yeshemayim community, and they must have asked a shayla, and it must have been the author of them who was able to identify that this was from the Misora.
Is it possible they should check out, and he brings a raya.
He says, first of all, don't worry about that. He gets out of the question, what about Targolta the Agma, which we said ended up being a problem. He says, forget about that. Fetayda. Sheheter ha'of indik. Sha'aru ochlin. What's a ha'of indik?
Hodu.
Indian.
Yeah.
Indian. Where are turkeys from?
From here,
they're
but there's a whole.
From North America, but right. They were called Indian, Targal Hodu, right. Indic. For some reason, that was the Indian hens That was the name that was given to them in the European countries.
Because the same, they thought the people here were called Indians. They thought they came to India. Okay. So that's what
he says in the Tzid, I'll bring a proof to my idea that if you don't really know what the Masorah is, you shouldn't mess it up. And if people are eating it, just let them eat it. What's his proof? Turkey. Potato. Sheheter ha'of indik, sh'ana ofen, ha'yuharbe ma'arim alayhem, b'sha'sheviyam in India. There are a lot of people who questioned this turkey, if you're allowed to eat turkey when it was brought from India, meaning from the New World, from New York.
Right.
Masaras al kashrus, there was no masaras on the turkeys. V'gamot ha'yom, yesh makmir, the parshmir. There are some very special people, I told you about
the families,
who don't eat turkeys. Mikol makom, kfar nagu lehet, v'ein tzpatzepet. Israelis consume more turkey than any other country in the world. And no one opens their mouth. Why is that? Now you'll ask, maybe it's not a great Masorah, right? There's some people who don't eat it. And we have no right to aser it. And therefore, is this a strong tshuva or a weak tshuva? If you had to rate this tshuva on a level of 1 to 5, 1 is it's a really weak tshuva, 5 is a really strong tshuva, how would you rate this?
I would say that since you have to look at what he's coming. I mean, you would think initially you think, okay, this is weak, but really, he's coming from. His point is that if the whole reason why we wouldn't be eating it is because we don't have a Masorah, he's saying, why do I care if the Masorah is new? It's 50 years old, and I know it's only 50 years old. It's not. Misina.
Do you really believe what you're saying? Because we know what the word Masorah means. Masorah means that there's Nishmi Piyish from Moshe
Rabbeinu.
This thing was just discovered in India 70 years ago and first imported it to our country 70 years ago. You tell me, for the fact that 70 years ago they started eating it, it must be that they had a Masorah 70 years ago? What do you mean? What about the 1,900, what about the 2,600 years between Moshe Rabbeinu and when they discovered the turkey?
Right. No, it could be, somebody paskened at that time.
Yeah,
but it could be that the person who paskin didn't hold that you needed the Masorah. There's other shita that hold that you wouldn't need a Masorah.
Okay, that's the shita Sanat Sid. He says everyone eats turkey.
It sounds like
he also eats turkey.
Right.
He's also one of the people.
I should hope so. If he says in his tshuva that you like to eat it, I would hope you would eat it. Mm. You know what it's like? It's like you go to the restaurant where the mashkiah says, you could definitely eat the food. Would you eat it? I wouldn't.
I had that in the restaurant.
You don't want to go to the restaurant with mashkiah.
Right.
So if the Netziv says it's kosher,
it's okay.
Right. Your yarmulke is okay.
Right.
Your yarmulke is okay. But yes, we don't eat this stuff. So I would hope, when the Tzid is being made, I would hope he'd be willing to, follow what he says. Okay, let's finish off tonight's shir with, so the Tzid ultimately is Mekel to this last part he is. His shiloh was about something else,
right.
And he's bringing a riot for the fact that we all eat turkey, even though we don't really have the greatest Masorah on turkey, but since everyone does, it must be good. It's good.
It's hard to imagine we can have any Masorah on turkey, right? Because we know that it's a New World bird. So
who was the ultimate Kosei that created this?
Unless they were this.
That's what he doesn't. He's not bothered by that. He doesn't think you have to go there.
Just between us boys, who was the?
So when the turkeys got to the Old World, from the New World to the Old World in the 1500s. So who were the Gedolim in the 1500s? I don't know.
No, but I was told, I remember years ago, so I could be wrong, but a previous year had similar topics where it was, somebody made the point that, whoever was giving it, that every tshuva that you're ever going to find about turkeys that all showed up after people started eating, after it was already, people eat turkeys, and it was already eaten. Nobody came up with this tshuva like in advance before. It was taken to be close enough to a chicken, I guess, soon enough. Isn't there an issue as to whether or not it could breed with it?
Chunk of, remember, the Gemara tells us there are certain simanim, and presumably turkeys do meet the criteria of being kosher.
Well, also it breeds with the chicken if you force it, right? That's worth something, right?
Another shaila of the Rishonim. Talk about a breeding, if they breed within themselves, which if you ask the scientist, the definition of a species, according to the scientists, is if you breed two animals from different species, they will not create an offspring. And what will you do if you breed a
mule?
No, a horse and a donkey is two different species scientifically, but they could still create an offspring.
No,
not a fertile offspring, but...
Right.
But I think that...
Okay, so I want to bring you something that might be stronger, Tshuva. The Meshiv Davar, the Sholem Meshiv of Yosef Sholem Nathanson, who is much earlier than the Nitziv, he's 100 years before the Nitziv. Not 100, he's 70 years before the Nitziv. He is a little bit of a stronger Tshuva, I think. If you look again, just to, again, the part of the sugya that we're skipping, it's the basis that he's being made on. There are these different shitas. There's a sheet of Machlokes, Rishonim, how to rely on Siman. So I just took one point, and I underlined it on page 4. This is the show, the Meshe Madura Chamisha, Siman Samach Tes. Look what I underlined. He says, I don't think he's talking about turkeys there. I don't think he's talking about some other bird that was under question. And he goes to the Rishonim, based on the various simanim that birds may or may not have. And obviously the biggest difficulty is the sin is the sheet is Rashi, which unfortunately there are more paskins like. It says you need a bona fide Masorah to
be permitted.
The Mechaber is a little more complicated. I cut and pasted a little bit of Mechaber. But definitely the Ramah says explicitly, you need a Masorah in order to permit a bird. So he says the following. The Sholem Meshiv goes back to the Rishon and says, there are a lot of Shitas. One of them was Rashi. One of them was Rashi who said that you have to have a Masorah. But there were others. And therefore, to discuss whatever bird he's dealing with, he says, whatever bird we're dealing with, he's dealing with it again, I don't think it was a turkey, have a sex sveka, shem k'shem. Why? Safik Shemakadas of Meir ben Yosef. That was one of the Rishonim like, many Rishonim Paschim like, Rabbi Natan. V'imtem Tzolomer Kirashi, and if you want to be Mathmir, that you can't rely on the Siman, but you have to have a Masorah like Rashi, I skipped a few words. Ulai Hamas Kedibi Homer Shiesh Lahem Masorahs. Maybe there is a Masorah on this bird. And he says this is what we would call a Svek Sveka. And it's a perfect Svek Sveka. He explains the Svek Sveka Mishapich, which is a good Svek Sveka, that maybe we pass not the Rishonim, not like the Rambam concluded. Maybe we pass not the Rishonim that you don't need a Mesoras. All you have to have is the appropriate Siman. And even if you hold like Rashi is Machmir, like the Rambam is Machmir, that you need a Mesora, maybe you do have a Mesora on these birds. Ooh. So that could taka be. Maybe Turkey is really, we do have Mesora on Turkey, like the Mitziv said. Again, I don't remember if this Jew was about turkeys or not, but maybe it is. No, look at the last line. Vani Shoah concludes with Nasa Sin in the 1850s, probably. Half Oakland Indic Shabbam America. How do you eat the Indian chicken that comes from America? Where it comes from. It's interesting. You have a tshuva in the 1850s that uses the word America. Geshmak. Half Oakland Indic Shabbam America. Shabbavadi Lo Yashem Asoras. There was definitely no Masorahs in America. You know why? Because there were no Jews, in America until the Santa Maria came in 1492. Mm-hmm. Or maybe a little later. You see, the Sholem Meshiv is saying in the 1850s, 1860s, that all the Jewish communities are around here eat turkey. And there's no Masorah there. So what's he saying? He's saying, because you have a Svek Sveka. You have.
Yeah, but one of his sadim of the Svek Sveka went away. Because he said maybe there's a Masorah, but now he's saying Bavadai there's no Masorah in America. So therefore, one of his sadim went away. That's why he's sort of leaving it open question.
Yeah, but he's Shoyel. He doesn't. The Shuvah. Again, there's a lot of cutting and pasting happening here. So I have to take snippets.
Okay.
And finally, so he also comes out with the Heter. He says, everyone needs it, so you have already the Nitziv saying it's okay, and already 70 years before the Nitziv, you have the Sholem Meshiv says, everyone needs turkey. Kozmar Ramshik and says, life is not so hunky-dory, life is not so much fun. Mar Ramshik says what he's talking about. Al-Dvar Shabbatak Lamalasa we have a certain type of bird that's come to our country not so long ago. Second line. English hen. An English hen. I believe an English hen is a Turkey, I believe.
Okay. Americanische Henner.
Americanische Henner. Henner. An American hen. And they taka, they have eggs, and they do mix up with tarnagol. That's what you said. They do breed, crossbreed with chickens, shalano, and they multiply. Umitzas chachom osro, some mitzas matirin. He says, not so clear. We don't have a mesores. Is it okay or not? So this is a long tshuva. I'm going to take one snippet out of this tshuva. Yeah, what was it? There was one point, he had an interesting point later on, that I don't have here in front of us. He had an interesting point. He says something that if the animal is not doris, we know that it's not doris, then the worst thing that could be is an isidrabanan. And if it's an isidrabanan, then if you have a suffix on it, you could use the rule of suffix drabanan lahaka. The need for Mesora is because maybe it's, we don't see a Torah. We don't see a Torah. We don't see a Torah.
Even the Torah,
like that swamp tarnagol that Rashi quoted, we everyone saw it, it was not Torah. And oh my gosh, one time it was once Torah after we thought it wasn't, months after we thought it wasn't Torah, we saw someone, one of them Torah. So therefore, all birds you can't eat, even though they have Simon, we know they're not Torah. So that's a Chashash Rabbanan. So it's only a Chashash Rabbanan. So the Maram Shuk says, maybe you could be Mekel, it's a Chashash Rabbanan, and there's a Safik on the Rabbanan, Safik the Rabbanan is a Kula. But in the end, Taka Maram Shuk is Machmir. Ain't a bar that's a Yehemekel on the bottom line. There ain't a bar that's a Mekre Nidmeh, that is the same one. And therefore, we have a tradition that you have some Masars, we don't have some Masars, so the Maram Shuk indeed is Machmir. So, Allah Maisa, you have opposite. Conclusions you have among the poskim. I saw an interesting article. Somebody wrote an article, a very in-depth analysis. Rabbi Dr. Zivotofsky, who's very good researcher.
Yeah, he writes good
stuff.
He's
one of the people who worked on Tcheles and a lot of interesting botanical and things related to animals. So he concludes an article, which is something that I saw in some of the Achronim, that says, if you're going to say the turkey's not kosher, what are you doing? You remember what the Shalom Meisha said? The entire Klal Yisrael.
You're being
motzi laz on hundreds of years of entire communities of Jews saying that they were eating not kosher on saying that we don't have Masorah, when in hundreds of years they've already been eating it, assuming that there was Masorah. So, it's a delicate battle. It's a delicate balance. On one hand, you say, oh, I don't know if it's kosher. On the other hand, might only be an Issa D'Rabbanan with a lot of sveikas. Thirdly, on the other hand, to be machmir might, sometimes it's always safe to be machmir, right? No,
right.
Absolutely not. It's not safe to be machmir. This article, he points out in the article, quoting from some Achronim, if you're going to be machmir, you're being motzi laz on Doris Doris of Yireim Uksherim of the entire, Klal Yisrael, that do eat turkey. So, either way, this is hopefully a halacha l'maaseh. I think the minhag is to eat turkey, unless you're one of those families that...
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.